To address more about that issue, let's bring in our first guest. He is State Senator Henry Martin. Henry, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
Glad you could be with us. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
So when you hear about this in these quasi-state agencies, first of all, what's your opinion of quasi-state agencies? We'll start with that, and then we'll delve into it more.
Oh, good, Gary. I think there's a definite, positive to having those, right? They help speed things up. Things tend to get sort of slowed down a little bit with the under government bureaucracies, if I could use that word.
Oh yeah.
But you know, they're meant to help bring the sort of the private sector / government together, sort of as a joint venture, mm-hmm. and to help speed things up in order to get development or whatever. You know, they're charged to do to move things along a little bit quicker.
All right, but the problem with I agree with that, and I really do. It's great to bring the public and the private sector together on multiple projects. The issues I think that I have, or that a lot of people have, is the oversight. More often than not, there are boards or councils that are not elected officials, but more or less appointed. For example, the governor will get three appointees. The House majority leader and the Senate majority leader will each get one or two appointees. The Senate and House minority leaders will get one appointee each. You know, and there might be a couple of other appointees by other commissioners and so on and so forth. That's where I have the issue with. They're doing the dirty work that is, and they're appointed so that there's no ramifications on legislators that may have to make unpopular decisions, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's skewed considerably. If you the list that you just provided, you know, it starts with the governors. He could have one appointment or three appointments, and then each of the leaders of the majority will each have one or two appointments. By the time you get done with the appointments and you get down to the minority representation, they have the least. And, you know, the ratio, if you look at, you know, the majority versus the minority appointments, and depending on who has the control of the governor's office and each of the chambers, the ratio is pretty skewed, 7-2, 9-2,
yeah.
You know. So, yeah, that perhaps, you know, that should be something that should be looked at as well. So maybe the parity or the ratios come closer together, 5-4, you know, 4-3, something like that.
It should be looked at, but what are the chances that it will?
Slim to none.
That's right. That's right. Unless, of course, you know, the Republicans get the majority, well, then we're talking about a whole different ballgame.
I agree, yeah. I'm hoping that with the legislation that we're proposing, that there's going to be some significant changes in the way that quasis are formed here in the state of Connecticut. I don't know. I'm sure you've been following with what's happened recently with the Port Authority, you know, the mismanagement of funds there, lack of oversight, some cronyism that took place.
Yeah.
Hiring family members for providing photos for a you know, remodel wall. Friends being hired out of state who were tied to the executive director for a job where they could have paid less than they could have paid half of what they paid for the services with a local firm. You know, and it goes on. I mean, the abusive amount of attorney fees that were paid out through that agency. It was an obscene amount of money, like $600,000 in the 1 year alone.
That's
cool. And, you know, to do some of that work was creating an agenda.
Oh, not to mention the fact that Connecticut Lottery is a quasi-state agency, and that's an absolute boondoggle. That is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, you know, some not only them, but I believe including in the lottery, but the Green Bank, some of these some of these separation agreements were an excessive amount of money. You know, and what we're saying in our legislation here is to say, listen, let's fix this, create some type of boilerplate for any future quasi. Let us dictate, or excuse me, in statute, come up with the policies and procedures that each of these agencies are going to need to run by. And what we've been doing is just sort of saying, you know, authorizing the agency and then let them go figure it out on their, by themselves. It shouldn't be done like that. Let's create the policies, hand them the book. Here it is. Here's the minimum. Tweak it. That's fine. But here's the minimum that you're going to have to do.
You know, I like what you're saying, Senator. I really do. But what are the chances that they're going to take this bill up?
Well, I think there's enough attention being placed on what just recently happened in the Port Authority that there is going to be some type of change. And I think, I hope that, you know, if they don't take our bill, whatever bill comes out, I hope that there's enough in that that comes from our bill, such as that the separation agreement, the cap on salaries, that, hey, listen, if you're going to hire somebody at $200,000, well, run it. Let the attorney general take a look at it. Let the comptroller's agency look at it. Bring it to the committee of cognizance. Let us know. You know, there's somebody in the DOT, you know, that, like the Port Authority. You hire somebody for $200,000. Well, let us see it here. You know, at the committee level.
That's just absurd.
You know? And then, you know, in the other things that need to be included in that is, hey, listen, on an annual basis, that agency needs to come in front of the committee cognizant, come in front of us, and show us, tell us what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And then show us your financials, which the Port Authority did not do, and they were required to do that, but didn't do it. You know, so creating this boilerplate policies and procedures is imperative. You know, here's what you need to do, everybody.
I agree. And the MDC is another one that needs to have a hard look at, and maybe a forensic audit there. There's they've gone up way too much in a short amount of time. That's just, it's beyond the rate of inflation. I mean, they can give us all the excuses that they want, that they're not selling enough water, and that the Niagara deal, you know, they're not living up to the numbers that they originally projected. But you're taking it out on people. We're talking water here. It's a necessity. It's a life necessity. But listen, there's going to be two quasi agencies formed. One is that are brand spanking new, Senator. One of them is this Council of Transportation, that would have oversight for the transportation infrastructure bill, otherwise known as the toll bill, that supposedly you guys are going to be voting on simultaneously next week.
We hope not, but go ahead.
Well, I'm hearing that they really do have the votes now. So, I mean, that's a whole other argument. But so this agency is going to have cognizance over, not agency, excuse me, this council is going to have the authority to arbitrarily raise the fees of the tolls at any given time, once they realize, and they're going to realize, that they're not bringing in the amount of money that they thought. They can also increase how many tolling gantries there are in the state. Right now they're saying 12, but who's to say there won't be 14, 15, 20, 25, 40? You know, and they will also give them the authority to say, well, you know what, we expected, our projections are off with trucks only tolling. Which the writing is on the wall. Well, it looks like the gantries are already up. We got to make them cost effective. We're going to have to toll all motor vehicles anyhow, which everybody knows that, you know, that's getting it through the back door, and that's, you know, it's inevitable. So, that's a lot of power for a non-elected entity to have.
Absolutely. We're delegating what is constitutionally our responsibility as a legislature.
Yeah.
This bill is handing over that responsibility over to this council.
And it protects, what it does is it protects the majority legislators from not having to take a vote on things that really, in all actuality, should be voted on by the legislature, and it gives them an excuse. It gives them, well, we don't have to take this up anymore. We don't have to take this up. We don't have to have a bad vote on something that our constituents would be hell-bent over and raking us over the coals about. No, we'll just pass the buck on to the authority. It's their fault, you know?
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head there.
That's disgusting. All right, so there's...
It is. You know, and actually how that was going to work is the DOT commissioner is going to propose the increase or decrease, but most likely an increase,
yeah,
and to the council, and then the council will have the final sort of stamp of approval onto it. So where the legislature is completely out of the picture.
We talked last week with your leader, Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano, and I think it was just yesterday we were talking to my former leader, Themis Claridis, about this another quasi-state agency that's going to be formed for this for cities that have more than 70,000 residents and are looking. There's up to $45 million of bonding that they can do. What is this thing called? It's
the Municipal Redevelopment Authority. And it's a sub-agency, I'll say, quasi in, within the Capital Region Development Authority.
Right.
So explain, that's unclear totally as to, so we're creating a quasi inside a quasi. Explain that.
Yeah.
It's ambiguous right now.
That is,
how's that going to work?
Yeah, that's
and so in this recent bond package that the governor's proposing, not only is he getting off his debt diet, but you're talking about giving an agency that is not formed, does not have its policies and procedures, is not given the what's their focus, what's their purpose, and we're giving them or bonding $45 million, and we're doing it now, and we haven't even made the appointments.
Yeah, who are these people? I mean, we don't even know who they are.
We do not. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly.
What's wrong with that picture?
Folks, and just for our listening audience, folks, if you are in a Democrat district with a Democrat member of the Senate or a Democrat member of the House, I mean, you need to hold these people accountable. I know they have nice smiles and they come back and look what I'm doing. No, this is absolutely crazy. That their party, their leadership for the last 40 or 50 years, it's been one party rule, that they have such kind of power and dictatorship going on.
Gary, you're absolutely right. They need to call. Your listeners are outraged about this.
Oh, they are, believe me.
They should be. They need to call the Senate Dems. Can I give you a number?
Please do. Twice. Yeah,
860-240-8600. They need to call the Senate Dems and let them know that how outrageous they are regarding this.
What's that number again?
860-240-8600.
Henry Martin, thank you so much for being with us. We always love when you're able to join us. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You bet, Gary.
Thanks so much. You got it.
Be well.